Welcome aboard, you people, Starship Rokan Show, off for another day of broadcast insolence. Got a Anna De Vlantis had her premiere voyage today.
I miss her so much.
It went.
I miss her.
Yeah.
I miss her already.
I know you do. I know you do. And she misses us. I was just talking to her in the hallways. And she's like, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, sort of like that.
Peeking through the blinds, yeah. What the neighbor's doing.
FOMO.
What's the family doing?
Well, but what's on your show?
Or like, hey, what are you having for dinner tonight? It's sort of like the first time that the couple splits up,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the kids are at home, and then, you know, the parent that left wants to come by and see the kids. That's exactly what happened.
It's so weird cooking for one now.
You run into her at a restaurant. Oh, you're eating here too.
And she was there with Steve Dale. See, now that worried me. See, all of a sudden, now she's sitting in a...
They're just friends.
It's a business meeting. I swear.
You and Steve Dale? No! I knew it! So, anyway.
Well,
so,
slow news funny. Day for her first show.
Yeah, nothing going on. And she did have Lori Lightfoot. And we're going to talk to Ben Bradley coming up here in just a few minutes about this whole coverage of Superintendent Eddie Johnson. And I got to say, you know, what the mayor has done here, if you're just joining us, the mayor has fired the now former Chicago Police Superintendent, who had, you know, he was staying on. He was going to be retiring sometime this year or early next year. And everybody knew he was leaving. And then he has this moment where he's found asleep in his car. And he then has to explain why he was asleep in his car, why he was pulled over and asleep in his car. And he said because he's been on medication, obviously, you know, he had a kidney transplant and all that. I mean, he has had some serious medical issues. So it seemed reasonable that maybe he's been battling these things.
Changing medication.
Right, yeah. All that stuff can happen. So, okay. So it was believable, and it wasn't a DUI situation. That's what everybody thought. Now, what is crazy about this, though, is Lori Lightfoot, she did it was sort of the velvet shiv today to him, saying that this is, he had been lying to her, right? Mm-hmm. Not been truthful mm-hmm. about the story here. And as such, she's not going to reveal the details out of respect for his wife and family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now that, I mean, okay, we get it.
Right. I think everybody went to a certain place when they heard that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hard not to.
I'm just interested in the timeline of it all. Because they had the, quote, celebratory press conference announcing his retirement. This investigation was ongoing after he was found asleep at his car. Like, how did she just get these other details?
Well,
and why did she get these details that she may have not gotten previously?
Well, simply the investigation. He called for the investigation on himself, which honestly made him look good. It was like, oh, he probably
right.
didn't do anything
He was
wrong.
Owning up to it.
Right. Obviously, something has been found that goes against his story. And I think you have to also start to wonder what is the deal with some of the other people involved in this story.
Some details came poking
right.
its head out.
And she, during that initial press conference, you know, said that Eddie Johnson is a friend of hers. And she had reason to respect him and believe him, I'm sure, because of that fact. But imagine now, as the mayor of Chicago, and you're trying to fix a lot of issues in the city alone, you find out these new details about your superintendent as well as a friend. She's in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
Another classic Chicago story.
Yeah.
Right?
But she left it out there knowing that now we want to know the details.
Right.
And the details are going to have to, they will eventually leak and emerge here.
Yeah.
So they always do. Nothing that, you know.
Well, she said she believes the public deserves to know. I don't think she wants to be the messenger.
I think the story's already out there, so eventually it's going to become public.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, the other question, and Ben will be answering these questions for us coming up in just a few minutes, does he still get his pension? I mean, now that he's been mm-hmm. fired, what does that mean? Does his service have to be reviewed? The whole thing. A lot of questions that surround this, and it's because I've said this before. I've done work with him on when I'm doing my charitable work with the Memorial Foundation. He has been probably the most active current superintendent that we've dealt with. You know, in the four that we've dealt with since we started that foundation, he's there for us all the time. And I respect him for it, and I really appreciate all the stuff that he has done. And I consider him a friend, and I don't know what to do. You know, what to say about this, because I have no idea what the actual detail is, and it's and it's painful, but it appears to be something of his own doing because he's not fighting that. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's check in now with Lauren Lapka, find out what's happening in the skies and the roads.
It has become clear that Mr. Johnson engaged in a series of actions that are intolerable for any leader in a position of trust, particularly the head of the Chicago Police Department. This is obviously not a decision that I entered into lightly. However, the circumstances demanded these actions.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Hello, Ro. Busy Monday.
Yeah, I would say so.
Welcome back from Thanksgiving. I hadn't even digested the turkey before the breaking news alarm went off.
Well, let's talk about this, because the firing of a police superintendent is a very big deal in this town. Very rarely happens under these circumstances. A resignation is accepted, but she's coming out, the mayor is coming out and saying very, very specifically and directly, no, she fired him for basically lying to her.
And fired him, I'm told, before he had a chance to report back and tell other department leaders he had been fired. She walked out to the microphones and told the public. I think it's symbolic of her style. She doesn't like being lied to, and she felt in this situation, not only was the public misled, she said in the superintendent's public statements about being found, why he was found slumped over in that vehicle, but she said in subsequent conversations, she felt like Eddie Johnson gave false representations and intentionally tried to mislead her. What's happened is, while the Inspector General's report is not completed, I'm told, she was given an advance read on what the Inspector General's office found. And it apparently pretty clearly showed that Eddie Johnson was not being truthful when he said it was just a change in blood pressure medication. Oh, and maybe I had a drink or two.
Now, she also, though, said these not exactly not damning words, shall I put it that way?
You don't want these words said about you.
That she's going to leave the details out of respect for his wife and family.
Yikes.
Yikes is right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been said about me, but that is not, but that was years ago. The question is, will that come out now?
I think it will, because we're going to have the city inspector general's report, I'm told, will be released or will be finished before Christmas, could be in the next couple of days or weeks. What would normally happen is then a case summary would get published in the IG's quarterly reports. But keep in mind, it was Mayor Lightfoot who championed and pushed for a change in the rules that on big cases of significant public interest and importance, the mayor's office can decide to make everything the inspector general found and reported public. That's what happened just a couple of weeks ago when they released that Laquan McDonald inspector general's report. And I think that's what we're going to see happen here. And that would include not only the officer's accounts from that night of the superintendent's conduct when they found him in that car a couple of blocks from his home after midnight, but also whether or not there was body cam video of it that would show his demeanor. You better believe if the inspector general's office could, it would have gone to the restaurant he said he was at that night. Well, how many drinks were they? Was it on a credit card? And I think you're going to get more information about who he was with. And so all of that would be in the IG's report. And the mayor, who's championed transparency and, in fact, rewrote the rules, it's her prerogative to release it.
Do you think it's fair to think this might not be the only firing we see because of this?
Well, you know, what do they always say, right? It's not the crime, it's the cover-up. You know, if Eddie Johnson had come out, you know, after we got a tip about it and called the department and said, hey, we've listened to the police scanner traffic. We know there was a dispatch. We think this happened. Give us your response. And I think, as is always the case, you know, if you lay all your cards on the table out of the gate, you're probably in a better situation. I think you know, where there could be more potential trouble for others beyond the superintendent is if somebody foolishly tried to engage in a cover-up, try to get the officers to not report what they saw that night, that sort of thing. And we should mention, because you know, I get a lot of questions on social media, oh, well, why don't you have the body cam video? Well, we have filed Freedom of Information Act requests with the city for that video, for even the simple police reports, the incident reports from that night. And those FOIA requests were denied based on the Inspector General's ongoing investigation. They say that it would interfere with that investigation to make that information public.
Well, Charlie Beck's the interim superintendent, and Mayor Lightfoot was on with Anna last hour and said, a permanent superintendent should be named by spring. I think she said by April.
Mm-hmm.
You and Ro, Ben, you guys know many members of the CPD and are involved with some of that. Any front runners or names that people are talking about to become the next superintendent?
Ro, you want to start or you want me to start?
I can think of four or five, right? Yeah. That are formerly of the, either currently or formerly from the Chicago Police Department. There does tend to be a lean toward wanting to go internally. Mm-hmm. Remember, now, there was a change during the last take of the Daley administration in which the federal government had basically come in based on a consent decree and they were trying to change the rules of engagement for Chicago mm-hmm. police. There was Mayor Daley was basically given a choice. When there was a change at the superintendent position, that he had to go get somebody from the outside. And they basically, Jody Weiss, formerly the FBI, mm-hmm. was the guy that was chosen. And the story that I think a lot of us on our side of the aisle here, on the press side of the aisle, were told, this wasn't a choice for the mayor. He was told, this is who you're taking.
I've heard it a little differently. I've heard that Daley, was strongly encouraged to go with somebody from the outside because of the scandals that had hit the department, and that Daley actually called up somebody with the FBI who he knew and said, hey, well, would you recommend anybody? And that's how Jody Weiss's name came to the surface. Whether it was forced or not, it all depends on your definition of forced and how subtle the ask is, if you will. You know, I think going forward... you've got a couple of good internal candidates within CPD, but Mayor Lightfoot, could pull a Charlie Beck. Not that he would come in full time, but somebody totally from outside the department who has a lot of policing experience and a national reputation. Or she could choose a guy, like Leo Schmitz, who came up through the ranks of the Chicago Police Department, was a commander down in Inglewood, and then went over and became the director of the Illinois State Police. So he's got experience in a couple of different areas that you could argue that he is, an insider, but who is also an outsider who gets the bigger picture stuff.
Yeah. I think Leo Schmitz is definitely used to run the gang unit. He would be a front runner. I think Kevin Ryan, who used to be the area central commander, mm-hmm. Is another guy that I think you're probably going to hear his name being mentioned. They're the chief of personnel. Her name escapes me right now. Is also, a possibility. Yeah. You might end up with a woman as superintendent. An interesting thing about the Chicago Police Superintendency is that you do not have to be a sworn law enforcement officer to be the Chicago Police Superintendent. You can actually be a civilian.
Are you nominating yourself, Ro?
I have just nominated myself, yes.
That's interesting, Ro, because I always thought in New York, I know that's the case, where it's a commissioner who's not a sworn officer. In Chicago, there was that big stink about whether Jody Weiss would ever wear the uniform because he was not a sworn Chicago police officer.
How is that possible?
Because it's a superintendent, not chief of police.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a different title.
It's a different title. And the superintendency in Chicago, there was a very famous O.W. Wilson from O.W. Wilson in the 1960s, who was here for a lot of crazy things that happened in the Chicago Police Department. But he, actually, for guys who were, now they've come off the job, but guys who were on the job who remember him or were cadets or whatever, they look at that era as a really... It's a really interesting era, and some people thought he did a really good job.
Yeah,
So I don't know. We'll
it's interesting. Each superintendent has a different profile, a different personality, and you saw, when Terry Hillard was in charge, it was kind of that soft, quiet leadership. Eddie Johnson, I think did a good job of getting the department's critics to see things through his vantage point and through. him seeing them through his vantage point. You know, at different times the city needs a different leader. But let's not forget Lori Lightfoot headed up the police board. And even though Rahm did an end run around her when he picked Eddie Johnson, you know, she's already interviewed a bunch of candidates a couple of years ago. So, you know, there may be some names that are on her radar that are not on our radar.
I would encourage her to take someone who's been inside the system. Now, there's an argument that, well, no, you got to take somebody outside the system because they're the only ones who can clean it up. Mm-hmm. And I would just point to Jody Weiss and to Gary McCarthy. And I don't think that worked.
Yeah, there's a big learning curve there. You know, and Gary McCarthy quickly, I think, you know, people loved him for his kind of brash personality. The media, you know, he was very quotable. But if you look at, you know, the legacy, you got to wonder, yeah, how much progress was made, though it was at a time when crime dropped significantly.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give him credit. Well, I don't think it all falls on a superintendent, but credit is often taken when you have a good statistical turn, right?
Right.
And so in this case,
and he loves statistics. Gary McCarthy loves stats.
Right, that was his whole thing. All right, Ben, more of this coming your way on the WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
We'll see you then.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
There he goes, Ben Bradley, who took it on the chin today a little bit during the Anna DeVlanta show, as I did. So who would possibly...
Hey, I'd love to see that music box collection. Oh, wait, that one.
By the way, you still have that music box collection?
I do.
Yeah,
I do. I've got a monkey that cranks it. It's really great.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right, right now we have got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Thank you very much. I think I will do that. Demetrius Ivory joins us right now from WGN-TV as well, as we are not only here on the radio at 720 a.m., but we are also, the Rokan Show is on CLTV. And on Friday, Demetrius,
yes.
I need not tell you this, because I think you're already scheduled. If you look at your BlackBerry or Palm Pilot, I don't know which one you have.
Trio. I have the Trio.
You have the Trio. You will notice that there is a calendar reference for Friday afternoon in Tinley Park for you. Is there not?
Yes, there is.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
So what should I expect?
Expect a lot of good feelings, a party atmosphere, amazing music. There might be some libations that are being purchased there in excess. I can't speak to it.
At least one health scare by row.
Okay, all right.
Exactly.
So
somebody will cough.
This is an excuse to party, but it's on, you know, we're working.
But we're working, but we are also doing this for Toys for Tots.
Right.
It's the annual Toys for Tots Christmas show, which is going to be in Tinley Park this year, Tinley Park Convention Center. Come by with a toy. There are no tickets this year. Just come by with a toy, hang out, you can stay the entire afternoon if you like. The show starts at 3 o'clock. The radio show portion ends at 5:30. Then the real show starts at 5:30 on stage with the Ides of March and some other special guests and some surprises along the way.
I am excited. We're going to be simulcasting WGN News at 4 on that day. So we'll be doing, I don't know how I'm going to do it with the crowd and how wild you guys. Bro, yeah. You're going to have to help me. We're going to have to like shush everybody.
We'll figure it out. Yes. We got it worked out.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And we got all the toys from Apple Chevrolet heading our way, and it's going to be great. So let's talk a little bit about the weather for the week. Today, I was so optimistic. I wake up, sun shining.
Yeah, some sun.
Yeah.
Bird is coughing outside my window. I mean, it was okay. It seemed okay to me. And then all of a sudden, it became white sky winter again.
Yeah, you walk out. Well, and then it was beautiful, but then when you walk outside, it's, you know, high of mid-30s, right? This week is going to basically be exactly like today. We'll have kind of in and out of cloud cover tomorrow, high temperatures in the low 40s, and then into Wednesday, we'll see high temperatures again in the 40s, but we'll get sunshine there. So sunny, but still kind of jacket weather. Same deal for Thursday and Friday. We are dry. We're going to be dry even in Tinley Park on Friday, which is good news.
That's very good news. Yeah, we've had major snowstorms during that show over the years.
And what do you do? We just go.
We have no choice. We just got to do what we do. We did it actually. There was a snowstorm on a Thursday night. This was, I can't remember the year, but you can look it up, where the airplane slid off the runway at Midway and went to the bus stop, right, and then hit a car.
Oh jeez!
Yeah,
wow.
And it killed someone in the car. It's the only death in the history of Southwest Airlines on
this
board a flight.
This story is really not sounding.
I know it's not
very
nice.
Uplifting.
But it was. That was down in Joliet. And it was a freaky. There was like 12 inches of snow. But people came out. People are, if they're going to be in the giving spirit, they get real brave.
That's what's up. Now, do you have some type of toy limit? I mean, can somebody buy like a 30-cent little bouncy ball and pull up?
You know, I don't encourage that. Because, you know, you don't want to hand a bouncy ball to a Marine. Here, this is for the kids.
Yeah,
you don't want to. That's never a good look.
Yeah, so college kids, you know, come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Break the bank a little bit.
Yeah, and we're not taking jewel pens or anything like that. We don't. That's not acceptable.
even though we encourage
people to bring games for older kids, you know, because that's generally the thing that's forgotten in this whole process.
Right.
And that's an important thing because you want to be able to give stuff to those kids because that's really
I agree. I broke my arm at in ninth grade, and I remember I was in the hospital for Christmas, and they brought. I don't know if they had me in the child wing or something. But they came in with, like, stuffed teddy bears and stuff.
Oh. Right.
I'm almost
doesn't do any
grade.
Good. Right.
I just kind of faked it. Like, oh, thanks. That's yeah. awesome.
Right.
I always wanted it.
Like, you get an Xbox game or something like that. You get whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. Well, back then it was
card.
Nintendo. It was Nintendo back then.
But whatever. But now, if you want to do, you know, or you know, even cards for kids for that stuff. Or even an Xbox. How about that? That's a nice
thing.
Yeah.
Just bring an Xbox.
Yeah. People do that. I mean, it's amazing.
That's really generous and awesome.
Oh, my gosh. People have brought... you know, bicycles and those, you know, 18 feet tall teddy bears and things like that, which no one can actually use, unfortunately. I mean, I use it as a support stuffed animal, but that's how that goes.
I'm sorry, I need a plane seat for this.
Well, if you go down to Apple Chevy and see the toys that are in the beds of the trucks, it's insane. Like what you're explaining, the first time I went down there, there's like some pretty awesome bikes and toys and stuff you wouldn't really expect someone to get, but people are generous.
Well, you know what it is? It makes you feel good, especially if you've just been a horrible person all year.
Yeah.
It makes you feel great.
Right. It all goes away right there.
Yeah, to do something. So instead of buying the $10 gift, you're like, you know what? I'm going to throw in an extra, you know, C-note, right? And then after that, you feel really good about all the bad things you did all year.
Exactly. We'll do that together on Friday, Demetrius. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right, there he goes, Demetrius Ivory. You can see him on the WGN-TV News coming up this afternoon. Right now, Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads and the skies? It's a Rokan show on 720 WGN Chicago. We are joined right now by our friend Trevor Shirley, who's joining us on the
show. Good afternoon.
Hi, Trevor. He's from Nextstar Media News, the network in Washington, D.C. And we're asking you, Trevor, what in the hell is going on this week? Because it's very, it's a lot going on.
Everybody's asking that question now.
Yep. So I would like to point something out. Obviously, everybody knows about the impeachment, and the Judiciary Committee is going to start its hearings tomorrow night because they can't work, I guess, during sunlight on Tuesday. It's some sort of religious conviction. I'm not sure what it is. But then they're there on Wednesday and Thursday.
I think it's called Thanksgiving. Everybody's still making their way back from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, sure. That's it. And then they've got more meetings on Wednesday. But do you realize, I mean, I know you realize this, but I don't think a lot of us realize that the government could shut down after December 20th. And no one is talking about that.
It's true. We could potentially be back in a situation where we were at the end of 2018, where we saw that record-setting partial government shutdown. The U.S. government runs out of funding on December 20th. It was supposed to run out of funding, I believe it was 2 weeks ago or last week, but they were able to pass a short-term spending resolution to basically kick the can down the road another 2 weeks. So December 20th is now that point that the government is working up against. So that isn't something that's really on the radar, just because I think impeachment is taking up so much of the oxygen in the room. But that's a big deal.
Right. And then there's the Defense Authorization Act and the USCMA, you know, that whole, like, the NAFTA 2.0. That thing, that's all just sitting out there. And I know, and I understand, I get all the impeachment stuff. I understand what's going on there. But there's other pieces of government that need to be addressed here, right?
Exactly. And that's really what Democrats are trying to walk that tightrope on right now and getting everything done with the impeachment that they want, but also showing that they can get other things done as well. Speaker Pelosi had really made a push to try to get the USMCA deal passed. As essentially a way to say, hey, look, we're not just consumed entirely by impeachment. This is also something that we can show the people that our constituents that we are getting things done. At this point, though, it's not clear exactly when that USMCA trade deal is going to get done. The White House has been saying that they want to get it done by the end of the year. But again, given everything that's going on, it's anybody's guess when that might actually get signed.
Yeah.
Well, I flipped the switch off Thanksgiving. I was tuned out basically for 4 days. I had football on my TV 99% of the time. I had to flip the switch back on today. For anybody who did kind of check out over the holiday weekend, lay out the timeline for us this week and tell us what it all kind of means for people trying to catch up with all of it.
Yeah, so tomorrow night, the House Intelligence Committee is going to vote to approve that committee's report, and that's going to encompass everything that we've been seeing up until this point. The closed-door hearings, the public testimony that we were watching the week before last, and I think some of last week, you know, it all runs together when you're covering this day after day. But everything that we've been seeing up to this point is going to be contained in the House Intelligence Committee's report. They're going to vote to approve that, and then they'll send that report on to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee will then have its first open public hearing starting Wednesday morning. And that report that they get from the House Intelligence Committee, that's what the Judiciary Committee will ultimately use to base their decision on whether or not to file articles of impeachment on.
And the president says, and the White House says, that nobody from the White House is going to take part in this. There was an invitation by the Judiciary Committee to have the president or his attorneys represent him in these hearings, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, so the White House sent a 5-page letter to the Judiciary Committee last night, basically saying in a nutshell, no, it isn't going to cooperate with this hearing on Wednesday. They left the door open to taking part in other hearings, but specifically what's going on Wednesday, the White House counsel has said, no, they won't be sending an attorney or any kind of a representative there. That was after the Judiciary Committee had extended that offer for either the president himself to participate or a representative from the White House.
And Trevor, this we only know what's happening through Wednesday, right? Because nothing else has been scheduled thus far. But do we anticipate that more will be?
There's always the potential that more could be scheduled. Again, when you look at the calendar, I mean, it's December 2nd today. The Congress is only in session for another couple of weeks before they go on their Christmas and New Year's recess. So there's a lot that needs to be done both on impeachment and other issues like we were talking about. So the Democrats are really trying to move at a quick pace to get as much of this accomplished as they can. So in all likelihood, yes, they could potentially be scheduling more hearings that could pop up later this week. But at this point on paper, all we know is that that House Judiciary Committee hearing that's going to start Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock.
It's going to be one of those marathon hearings again where they're stuck in the for hours and hours and hours.
In all likelihood, it's going to be an extended affair, to probably put it gently. At this point, though, we don't know who's going to be involved in this, because the Democrats, what this is going to center on is the House Judiciary Committee wants to bring in constitutional scholars and legal experts to basically testify as to what and what does not constitute an impeachable offense. So the Democrats are going to pull their own people in. The Republicans are saying that they want to pull in their own experts. So at this point, it still hasn't been ironed out exactly who's going to be in there testifying. But in theory, if each side, let's say, gets four person to essentially argue their case, it could be another hours long session.
Well, speaking of that thought, it was also announced today that the Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee released their own reports on the results ahead of the Democrats' findings. Do we know kind of what the summary of this is and what their plan is for this?
So it's essentially going to follow the talking points that they've been pushing or talking about for the since the beginning of this whole process, that they don't see it as fair. They don't think that the Democrats are giving the president due process. Their report is likely going to follow those same lines as well.
All right. Okay. So we look for more of the same, and we look for endless pictures of the steady camera shot of a chairman sitting next to his arch rival, and everybody rolling their eyes at each other. Very bad body language in all of these meetings. That's the one thing I know for sure. Trevor Shirley,
intense.
From Nextar. Thank you very much, Trevor. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too. Nextar DC Bureau. There he is, Trevor Shirley. And don't call me Shirley. That's going to be his new nickname around here. Let's see how that goes.
It's probably kind of a long nickname.
The reporters covering this saga deserve some sort of award. This is like
the marathon reporting.
Very complicated details, trying to lay out a proper timeline for people to consume it.
There's
a lot going on.
I do. The other piece of news that came out of Washington today, there's a book coming out, a biography of Melania Trump. that was written by somebody from CNN. So, you know, that's going to go well for everybody. And this, it's interesting. There's one revelation in this that I totally believe. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. They sleep in separate bedrooms. I don't think that's unusual. I know that, like, on House of Cards and all those kinds of shows, and I'll bet you that the Obamas probably slept at times.
Well, it's just a more normal thing as sleep studies come out in, you know, certain relationship things. They actually encourage people sleeping in different beds in different rooms.
Yeah. So we're going to talk exactly about that. But here's the difference in the Trump situation. She actually sleeps on a different floor. And he does.
Wow, that's a huge gap.
Yeah, that could be a thing. I thought that the residence was only on one floor.
Yeah, I thought it was on the, yeah, so did I. The second floor, right?
Yeah. To the, that's what it, and like in all the movies and stuff, you know, they go up and then they you know, people walk around up there.
Melania, maybe she made her own room.
She was featured in the White House released a video of all the Christmas decorations in the White House. It actually looks awesome. It looks great, but I do like her, the Be Best ornament they have on one of the trees.
Oh, gosh.
You know what? They did not fail to feature that in the little video they released.
For your Christmas dinner. I don't know how your Thanksgiving dinner went. Was it pretty good?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lauren?
Actually, I don't think we even brought up politics
once. Yeah, it was mostly no politics.
Proud of everybody. Yeah.
It came up late.
For you.
It came up very late in the and it was funny, it was a surprise. There was a surprise entry. Somebody I didn't think was going to bring it up brought it up. Out of nowheresville.
Was it the dog
up. the dog looks disappointed because he's an English bulldog, by the way. Congratulations to Thor, English bulldog, who
I couldn't believe it.
The national looks just like my little Ernie. Anyway, the point is that it did come up late, but there is going to be, I think, for you for Christmas, you bring the Be Best thing. That's going to work out really nicely. All right, we got the news coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Mr. Kevin Powell on sports, Lauren Lapka on the traffic, the weather, and the thoughts. And Kevin's got thoughts. And then Kim Gordon, who does not wish to share her thoughts with us because she's the news person and also a Green Bay Packers fan. And you can feel the Bears' breath on your neck right now, right? It's the Bears.
They're lingering. They're clinging. They're hanging on. They're praying.
We had a revival this week.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, well, you did take on a total.
You basically got a JV football.
Yeah, but we played
team
in the snow. We look pretty good.
Love a good snowball.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than snowing in Green Bay, I don't think.
It's the best. And then when people volunteer and come shovel out the stadium, how great is that?
Oh, it couldn't be better. Because I got nothing better to do because it's the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin.
Well, I'll give you that.
Oh,
I'll give you that.
Oh, geez. Let's go help them out over there.
Yeah,
Lambeau.
Oh, we got to go do that, eh?
That's free entertainment, guys. Oh, geez. Let's head over to Lambeau.
I actually really liked the video of the people shoveling off the lines of the game on Sunday. And there was like one guy shoveling off one of the 10-yard lines. He was kind of squiggly, and it was definitely not always on the line.
That guy definitely went
Brandy.
Good enough.
Yeah, that was Brandy induced right there is what was going on. The flask.
It was so funny.
Warm it up from the inside.
Yeah.
Backfires on you.
Together. Oh, I don't think I did it right there. I don't know.
Although they were in Jersey, right? So some guy was like, hey, forget about it. I'm done with these lines and shoveling.
No, they were was it in Green Bay last night?
No.
No, it was in
it was in New York?
The Meadowlands.
Okay. The Meadowlands, yeah. Oh. Because that team, oh my God, is that team awful.
They are.
Although, as it turned out, the Bears found out that maybe they're not as awful as they thought. We'll see. All right, speaking of sports, keep listening after 6 o'clock tonight. Chance to win a pair of tickets. See the Hawks take on the Arizona Coyotes. Or do you say Coyotes?
I say coyotes.
Yeah. That's going to be Sunday, December 8th. That's this Sunday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and tune in every Monday all season long to win a pair of Blackhawk tickets from Four Seasons.
My parents are going to that game.
Oh, that's fun.
I know.
Coyotes actually pretty decent this year.
And you guys are going to be in Mexico next week with the Chicago White Sox.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
We'll actually be there Sunday afternoon.
Not great having Thanksgiving food in front of you the week before you go to Mexico, bro. Be featuring a lovely beer belly, turkey belly situation on the beach in Mexico.
Come on, stow stick!
Carne asada.
Right. Cerveza fria, por favor, senor. As you walk up in the are you going to walk into the pool that's got the bar in the middle of it? the in-pool bar?
I'm a little afraid after your stories.
Yeah, I would not do that for you.
I try to avoid that. Our last Mexico trip, I don't think I went to the swim-up bar once. But any time we went, like, we'd wake up, like, I'm going to do something today. Like, I'm going to, like, go see some sights or do something cool. And then you walk by the pool and guy's like, margarita? I'm like, sure, margarita. And, like, five hours have gone by and you've done nothing but lay on the beach. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun. The Sox players are there. We're going to have, like, a meet-and-greet situation when we get there. So,
yeah.
And you'll be checking in with us from down there.
Yes, as well.
And Cancun, right?
Cancun,
yeah.
Iberostar.
It's a beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful beaches on the planet Earth.
Right. I had friends stay at the exact same resort, and they were nothing. Absolutely loved it. So it was great.
Oh, it's great. Mexico is great. It's just your hotel is generally guarded by people with submachine guns, but it is but it is really the people are amazing and the food is great and it's a great and the weather is damn near guaranteed down there.
The trip from the airport to the resort, it feels like you're like a politician or a wealthy businessman because you just feel protected. You're like in this like van. Right? Like this thing could take some fire.
It is the trip from the airport to the beautiful resort, and they have beautiful resorts down there. You keep driving. You do get a sense of why there is sometimes revolution in parts of North and Central America. Yeah. You can sort of see what's going on there. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, what if we got a flat tire? Right. Now what do we do?
Which way is the resort if the car breaks down?
All right, well, we'll
be just fun.
Have fun down there, because it is. I mean, I've been there a half dozen times, and I love Mexico. So it's all very good. All right, let's do this. Coming up on the other side, we are going to be joined by John Cass from the Chicago Tribune. He has his own thoughts on the police situation that has just transpired here in Chicago as we lost another police superintendent to a firing under mysterious circumstances. But first, Lauren's got the traffic and the weather.
For news at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlan. That's our guy. He was in studio today. Great to see Joe.
Yeah.
Dan Rohn on sports and, of course, Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling for TV News at 10. Watch Chicago's very own WGN.
They were playing a game with Donlan today.
Yeah.
Because Donlan knows Ben Bradley and myself, you know, way too well now.
Yeah.
You know, that we've left town together.
I asked him, I said, what really happened on that Notre Dame trip with you three? You don't want to know, Kevin.
It was, whew. So he did Roe and Ben trivia.
Love it. I was happy to learn that you broke your arm falling off a tricycle.
I did, yes. I did. I broke my falling off a tricycle, yeah. That is a true story.
As a teenager, too. Not as a child.
Yeah.
As a teenager.
It's a long story. All right. John Cass joins us right now from the Chicago Tribune. And I ask you, Mr. Cass, what do you make of the press conference today of the mayor announcing the firing of the police superintendent and then saying she would not release the details out of respect for his wife and family? What do you make of that?
That is what gets you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the wife and the family, the wife, the spouse of the police officer. And she's a police officer, too, right?
Right.
She's a lieutenant. She made lieutenant. She was a sergeant. She took a test and made lieutenant. It was amazing. And now, you know, the question is, who knew what, when, where, and how? You know, Ro, I'm thinking, meet you and Eddie Johnson. Go over to Ceres Cafe, have the Greek chicken that's on the menu for special today, and we talk about it. But I don't think he's going back there anytime soon.
John, what's the ripple effect here? Anybody else going down with Eddie?
The issue is there are two police officers came up on this. You know, they were called. There was a call to 911, and I think City Hall knows who called. And then you've got the police officer showing up, and Eddie was allowed to drive home, so they're probably going to be lit up or they'll be in trouble. And then you have the commander and the watch commander, who I think, by regulation, are required to notify Ian Aloysius Donnelly, otherwise known as IAD. And I don't know if they did that or not, but that should be part of Joe Ferguson's report whenever they release it. Which
that's the Internal Affairs Division, by the way, for those not following. Right. The guys who you know, come in and you know, would be responsible for this internal investigation part. Now, right. you said something, you blew right past something, John. I like you do this in your column, too. You drop a little nugget. You come back later, or you come back 2 days later to whatever that nugget was. But that's the question
Ro, I'm on a 50,000-watt station with you, Ro Khan, and your friends. Am I going to write my whole column here on your podcast, on your show?
Yeah, sure. No, you could.
I'm not... But I'll drop a seed here and there.
So I'm gonna. But I gotta go. Let me go. Pour some water on that seed, though. You said,
okay, please do.
They may know who made that phone call. When you say they know, they would know by phone records, or they would know personally who made that phone call?
Well, I don't know personally. Personally is, you know, I just saw the Scorsese film. You know, I heard about it from a guy. I didn't know myself. You know, I heard about it.
Yeah. Okay, but
clearly, when you call 911, there's a record of your call.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Oh. And what if you have a city phone? I don't know.
You're asking questions. You're asking a bunch of important questions. I see where you're heading with that. So there's a lot more of the story. Could it have been an inside kind of job? Now here's the other piece of this. This is an important thing. He was going to be retiring. One of the things that we kept hearing about was that Eddie Johnson was nearing a retirement threshold for his 37, 38 years, whatever it is, of service he's done to the city. And he was waiting to get to a date certain that would ensure, I think, you know, the full pension amount. And
Mayor Lightfoot, in her wisdom, was going to allow him to get close to it. She didn't, you know, she understood he had a couple drinks. She wasn't going to, you know, go all Khaleesi on him and have the dragon burn him to cinders. But then other stuff came out, and she's got to deal with that. And, you know, there's one thing about Lori Lightfoot. Don't lie to her, you know.
My question is, why would he ask for an investigation into the situation of himself if he thought he was going to be proven to have done something that was fireable?
Did he ask, or was it like the horse was already out of the barn? And so
I thought that was the announcement that he asked for the investigation into himself.
He said there should be an investigation into himself.
After it had already been launched? Is that your assumption?
I think it would have been launched the minute that he drove himself home after they woke him up, you know, at the stop sign.
Was the car in the right of way, or was it on the side?
I don't know. I think it was, you know, on the street somewhere, and he was in it. And you know, she tried to do the right thing by him and let him retire with some dignity. I remember she was the last time I talked to her at the Tribune editorial board. I asked her about the video, you know, because there should be video, right?
Mm-hmm.
There should be, unless somebody told cops to turn off their video, she said, I'm not going to talk about what I've seen and not seen. You know, wait for the report. And I thought, okay, why bring out the video if it was just a couple drinks and the guy was going to retire, let him go. You know what I mean? That's my attitude. I don't know, Ro. I just didn't want to, I didn't think you should be burned for something like that. And now it looks like he's being burned for more. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And other people might go, you know, get in a jam with him.
Well, generally these things do fall that way. As soon as it becomes a heater case, everybody gets looked at, right? And that's
it's a heater now, because I know who's not returning my phone calls as we speak,
mm-hmm.
and who is, and those who aren't returning my calls, I know they got my message. So we'll see what happens. Now.
I'm telling you, here's the one thing you know for sure: when John Cass leaves a message, you got a message. You understand what I'm saying here? You understand?
You know what? When Ro Khan asks you for a number, he's got the eyes of Harvey Keitel in that movie, The Irishman. You better give Ro Khan that number.
Great movie, by the way.
Did you like The Irishman?
I loved Pesci in it. I thought, you know, De Niro did this, you know, De Niro thing, and Pacino was his, you know, scene chewer self. But I thought Pesci was fantastic. He had the eyes, and so did Keitel, the dead
Keitel,
eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you and I both, Ro, have seen those dead eyes on Grand Avenue in on occasion.
Yeah, he had those. Yeah.
The interesting thing, of course, a whole discussion of Jimmy Hoffa and no mention of Joe Lombardo or Paul Rica, you know. So it's kind of like a New York fantasy. And apparently he didn't even kill the guy, right?
So
he didn't kill Hoffa.
That's interesting because it looks at it sort of from the East Coast perspective, the way that the 70s film Fist looked at it like that too. Sylvester Stallone's version of it. And, the true end of Jimmy Hoffa and that entire episode ended. Well, my theory is it ended in a zinc smelter in Gary, Indiana for Jimmy Hoffa. But,
either that or a car crushing place in Summit.
Oh, even closer! Wow, yeah. But certainly the Chicago outfit was intimately involved in that. So
when you think of casinos in Las Vegas, and you don't think of Paul Rica, that means you didn't do your homework, right?
Thank you. Everything, you know, everything is like, it's a great mystery. And then you have to start Googling things after you talk to John Cass. Wait, hold on. What did he say? What did he just say?
I told you that the Greek chicken is on the menu today at Ceres Cafe, didn't I?
That's like, you know what that's like? That's like in any of these movies where one guy calls another guy from a payphone as if there were still payphones and goes, the Greek chicken is on special today at Ceres, and then hangs up the phone. And you go, okay. And the guy goes, what did he say? He goes, I got the message. The stuff's in.
Eagle has landed.
I think they have an honest pour over there.
They got an honest pour. Okay, that means that they're paying full boat for it. All right. Thank you very much, John Cass. You're a legend.
Love you, man. In my own mind, I am. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
There he goes, the great John Cass. Yeah, it's an interesting. This is one of those turns in Chicago. It's gonna this story is not gonna go away quietly now because the mayor, and I think she's new to politics, but she's not new to being a tough guy.
Right.
I think she's been a very effective lawyer. She definitely has you just watch her temperament. Right, she's got that sort of. She doesn't mess around.
She's the scary teacher that won't yell.
Yeah.
But the way she's delivering the message is more terrifying.
And she delivered a fairly terrifying message today in the firing of the police superintendent by saying, I'm not going to reveal the details out of respect for his wife and family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all you got to say. I mean, it's sort of like...
Well, yeah, everyone's just going to make assumptions until we actually have answers. And if we don't get the full answers, they're still going to have assumptions.
No, I think we're going to get answers, though.
No, I think we will, too. But all of them, that's where I have a question mark.
Very interesting.
I mean, with that comment, everyone goes to a certain place. You immediately start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, and that's that's the situation with, if it's a DUI, DUI is bad enough, right? Mm-hmm. But if he was lying about a DUI, if it was worse than that, but he didn't, I don't think he ever got, I don't think he blew into a breathalyzer. That wouldn't be necessarily provable.
But why didn't he?
Right. So something has to be.
But I think there's
something that can't be proven in just a video,
She left it out as though there's a lot more to this story that would be humiliating to the family. It's time now for news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Kim Gordon's got it. Ro Khan Show with Ro Khan. and Kevin and Lauren and Kim and all that. Hey, Kevin just mentioned that Robin Lehner, the Hawks goalie, thank you, is going to be out ill today. Mm-hmm. Did you see the story about the New England Patriots?
Oh, yeah, like half their team has the flu or something.
Right, and they are being told, so when they were flying to their game, they had to take two planes.
Yeah, they were like quarantined.
Like they had a sick plane and a well plane.
I feel bad for anyone working on the sick plane.
Right.
And the sick plane probably not as nice as the regular plane because the regular plane, the Patriots are one of the few teams that bought an actual plane and they designed it for NFL players. The other ones probably just get whatever we can. Pack them in there. Right.
They don't have a doctor's office set up in the back.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, think about that.
Yeah, it sounds like they were dealing with a little bit of
Why would they even go? A
stomach bug. You got to grind through. Big game.
Ugh.
Offense looked horrible.
These teams, that's a funny thing. These teams are, when they start to get sick, because they're doing is like breathing and sweating on each other, and right. You know,
yeah.
Rubbing elbows, you're sweating, everything's gross. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an incubator for a lot of germology in there, man, my friends. I mean, it's pretty crazy. And then when you stop, and you just kind of imagine, all right, so you got the stomach flu.
Mm.
That's the and worst. They got to put you on a plane. Who wants that?
No, that right? is also the worst. Because like, you're usually in a bathroom the whole time.
That's a full-blown nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
Like, what would be the worst scenario you could be in? Having the stomach flu on a cramped plane with a bunch of giant, large men who are burping and farting and
also
being
needing
gross?
The bathroom, yeah.
Right, there's a line at the bathroom. Get out of the way. Right. And the linemen are the first ones to get in, but then they can't fit into the bathroom because they put them on the sick plane, which isn't the plane designed for the football players. I mean, it's. I'm telling you, man, it's like, why would they make them go? That's Belichick.
I agree.
That's Belichick right there.
I don't know how an NFL...
Did those guys play?
I think a lot of them did, yeah.
They just IV them up and they go, hey.
IV, clog them up with some sort of medicine.
Jeez.
You're not going to feel great, but you'll be able to play.
Oh, man.
And they did not look good last night. Tom Brady was chewing out his players. Did you see that? I hadn't seen it like that from him.
I thought he was going to throw his helmet at one point at the very end.
I said at halftime he might murder one of his receivers because he was chewing people out last night.
What was the final score? It was
28-22. But it did.
They came back a little bit.
They scored a touchdown like 2.5 minutes left. They scored
I feel so bad for Tom Brady. Nothing ever goes right with him. Poor guy.
Now the Bears.
Oh, here you're going to say something here.
No. It's just funny because
OB is coming up in a few minutes.
Because the texts start rolling in. You're seeing friends and family. Bears are back to 500. The optimism is sort of returned. You're like, I don't know, man. I think you might just get your heart broken in a few weeks here. But they're alive, bro. They are alive. And if you're watching Monday Night Football, you should root against the Vikings, obviously, because they're the Vikings. But they got to leapfrog some teams here, the Rams and the Vikings. And they've got another game against the Vikings. So if the Vikings...
Their best shot is the Vikings.
Is the Vikings.
Because they lost to the Rams.
They still have to jump the Rams as well, too. So
they'd have to jump the Rams by a game, not tie them.
Correct.
So there's that.
Correct.
And
that's a lot.
Yes.
They're running out of time.
They really are running out of time. Okay, I'm just one of these morons who did this exactly yesterday. I'm staring at the standings. I'm looking at the schedules. I'm trying to figure out who's going to play who and what is possibly left. It is like it may be a 4% chance that they can make the playoffs.
But I did see. I don't know how some of these playoff tracker predictors. I don't know. Some guy from like MIT probably punches in an algorithm and figures it out. Whatever. But I did see one that's had the Bears at 20%, which I was like, really?
Huh.
That seems very high. So right now the Bears are 6-6. They would have to jump the Rams, who are 7-5. The Vikings are 8-3. So you're going to have to jump both. But look, I mean, if the Vikings lose, they're 8-4. Bears win, it's a possibility.
There's four games left.
Yeah.
Right? And then if the Bears win out, they'd have to win out. There's no question about it.
Right.
And the Vikings would have to drop three of the last four, including the one to the Bears.
So tonight is very much losable for the Vikings. That's a very tough... Seahawks look really good. Russell Wilson in the MVP conversation, although I'm pretty sure Lamar Jackson already clinched that.
God. He is like watching... I mean, he should have a cape.
He's like a cheat code, people keep talking about. It's a cheat code, you punch in Madden. The guy's faster than everybody. He's juking everybody out of their shoes. He's throwing the ball in incredible spots. He looks like how Mahomes looked for a stretch last year, where he was making circus-type throws. You couldn't believe what you were seeing. He's a ton of fun to watch, and the Ravens look legit. 8 straight wins for Baltimore, but... I mean, it's sports, so whatever. Let's fantasize about the Bears potentially squeaking in here, Ro.
Oh, man. how awfully desperate are we?
I don't know.
We are. We are awfully desperate.
We beat, like, three bad teams, and now people are hopeful again. I just don't get it.
At least you'll be celebrating a national championship.
It's possible.
They're killing everybody.
It's possible. They got to get past Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, but you already beat them once.
Yeah,
I would have loved to see a Minnesota Ohio State matchup.
Actually, I was actually really hoping for Minnesota too, because I think that's a great. I love that coach. I love that program, but it was not to be. It was not to be. All right, let's check in now with Lauren Lapka, and then Ed Obradovich will be here. We'll ask him what his thoughts are on whether the Bears are going to make the playoffs or not. But first, what's happening in the skies and the roads? Here we go. That's what I want to hear. All right, here is our dear friend, Ed Obradovich, OB, and I, okay, all right, so something happened that was very strange on this program, OB, just a few minutes ago.
Okay, what happened?
So Kevin Powell, who I think is, as you know, is he's a young man, but he's wise beyond his years. Oh, yeah. I'd say he's,
sure,
he's one of those guys who he's been in the sports business for most of the last decade, and he understands things the way that they actually happen. But I saw him get a glimmer of hope in his eyeball about the Bears' chances of making the playoffs. And then I thought, don't get so excited. Let's just see what OB has to say about that. Mm-hmm. So here is OB to not only pop your balloon, but then stomp on it, tear it apart, chew it up, swallow it.
There's a chance. That's all.
Actually, Kevin, you got to agree with you. The ownership of the Bears, the front office, the coaching staff, the coaches, everybody, they've got to believe wholeheartedly the next four games that they can win them. And I'll tell you what, and if they don't have those thoughts in their mind burned in their brain, then it's really sad. But, I mean, you know, even if they run it out, I don't think the other teams that are ahead of us are going to fall down dead and play dead. So it's going to be a tough road, but let's see how they handle it from game to game. Now, what we've had here, if you listen to people on sportscasts and papers and everything talking about Trubisky is reaching his stride, he's getting his accuracy down. Folks, we played the Detroit Lions, who rank like 31st, 29th in defense. Then when we played the Los Angeles Chargers, they ranked 31st. We played the New York Giants, who've won two games. The Detroit Lions, we played them twice, who've won three games. You know, we're not talking about beating juggernauts here, but that's nice if everybody wants to get excited. But there's a word called reality, okay? And that's the thing that scares me. You know, just something, just a couple of stats, guys.
Sure.
Our running game, the first 12 games, okay, we played 12. And our combined running with all our running backs, twice we've broken 100 yards in 12 games. Now, if that's not bad enough, without Akeem Hicks, with interceptions per pass play, we went from 6th to 23rd, and from 23rd to 7th.
6th to 23rd, and 23rd to
7th. All right. It hits. Without him in there, you're talking about... Wait a minute. One second.
I know what you mean, though. When he's not there, there's no...
From 23rd to 7th, and then interceptions per pass play... And again, we went from 6th to 23rd
without
in sacks per pass play.
There is some good
news.
That's
huge.
It's large. You can tell the difference of the defense when he's not there. He is practicing again, so that's a positive sign. And it sounds like if everything goes to plan, he'll be back next week playing against the Packers. So, look, this is another team. OB, you mentioned some of the cupcakes they've beaten. But, I mean, this is a Cowboys team that's dropped two straight. They really didn't put up all that strong of a fight on Thanksgiving against the Bills. They lost that one. A very winnable
Bills
game.
Bills are fun, though.
Bills are a surprise fun team. They actually look legit. But, you know, too bad the Bears aren't in the NFC East because the Cowboys somehow are leading that division at 6-6. A very winnable game Thursday night, OB.
Yes, it is. I'll tell you, the schedule's been really pretty darn good to the Bears. You know, when we needed a victory, when we were really getting down and out, then we played a couple of these, like Doug Buffon used to say, play a couple of these tomato cans, and everybody get their dauber back up and be positive about everything. And who knows? I mean, could they run the next four games? Yes, they could. But I doubt it very seriously because we have to go up to Green Bay, awfully tough place to win, and just as tough up in Minnesota.
For sure. But that's the game, because the only team that they can really climb over, they really have any shot of climbing over, are the Vikings. And you need the Vikings just to fold their tent here. And it's unclear if that's actually what's going to happen.
Every Bears fan should have a serious rooting interest in Monday Night Football, because the Bears desperately need the Vikings to lose tonight.
Mm. Well, absolutely. But you know what, guys? This game, I cannot tell you how strong the mental part of this game is. I mean, we've been pretty lucky this year. Our defense is still capable of winning a Super Bowl. There's no question about it. The big minus is better offense from day one. And I mean, what has to happen here? And it's got to be all mental. Physically, I think we our receivers have improved, especially from the last several years, what we've had. But we've got to keep moving this kid out of the pocket. By that, I mean Trubisky.
Yeah.
We've got to keep him on the move, and you got to strike the ball down the field. Now, I don't know if Nagy's capable of putting that together for four quarters or not, but we'll see. But that's the way you're going to have to win this game. You are not going to win this game by dinking and dunking and running the football. We do not run the football very well. As I had mentioned previously, only twice have we broken 100 yards in 12 games. That's sad.
On Thanksgiving, we finally saw a successful first drive, but do you think that was more of an improvement on our offense or, you know, the defense we were facing being terrible?
Lauren, I've got a real simple answer for you on that, honey. Let me tell you something. That's what those guys are paid to do. You know, you're not getting paid to go three and out, punt nine times in a game, then come back the following game and punt another nine times when you've had 23 chances to move the ball on the field, and you punt the ball 18 times, you're paid to move the ball, convert on third down, and score touchdowns. That's the one thing, Lorne, that we do not do. And if we did that, we'd be winning a lot more games.
One of the graphics on Sunday Night Football popped up, and it was punt leaders. Which teams have punt the most? It was the Jets, which is a sorry, sorry team, and then the Bears.
Oh.
That's surprising, the Patriots. But to see the Bears there in a non-positive fashion.
Yeah, no, it's ugly. Although David Montgomery had a good game.
He did.
You know, you did. You saw a little bit of what it could be. Now, did you notice that the offensive scheme on Thursday was the kind of stuff that you hear OB and Hamp talking about? Which is, you know, again, rolling them out. You've got a lot of motion. You got misdirection. It's dynamic. It's not predictable. Although they did, and again, they did do this. You know, on like third and three, they ran. Or no, third and eight, they end up running Tariq Cohen up the middle.
Yeah.
That does not work.
There was still some questions. You know, as Lauren said, that opening drive. I'm like, what is this? The touchdown on the opening drive, and then like it perfectly sums up the season. One step forward, two step back. Defense has 10 players on the field, and David Blough throws a 75-yard touchdown pass to follow up that drive. It's just like anything, something positive happens, they take a step back.
I just got to say something. That Blough kid.
Hey, I warned you guys. I said, look out for his arm.
Yeah, because you're Purdue. He's Purdue. That kid is. I mean, I don't know if Detroit's going to keep him because he's the third string at Detroit right now. They don't. I mean, Matthew Stafford comes back healthy, and they got a good second string guy. That is, he's like a Jimmy Garoppolo guy. Yeah. I think he's a guy that other teams should be looking at to go get.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you look at those games that we won, I mean, you look at the Giants game. It went down basically almost to the last play of the game. We could have lost that game in a heartbeat. The two games against Detroit. If he throws the ball 1 foot further. The game against Detroit, guess what? We lose that game, too. It comes down every time. It's a fight. It's a struggle to win a game. We play in Denver. 1 second to go, we kick a field goal to win. You know, and somehow, some way, Nagy's got to wake up. He's either got to walk away from calling the plays, or if he's part of putting the game plan together, he's got to walk away from that, too. Because I tell you what I see with these kids out there from week to week, and I'm impressed by them, they give it every damn thing that they have. And they got a head coach that I think gets a little confused for 60 minutes, usually every Sunday. And he's got to give up play calling, give it to somebody else, move this kid out of the pocket. Kevin, how many times did I tell you guys last year, move that kid out of the pocket?
Yeah, I know. A lot, OB. Thank you very much. Ed Obradovich, thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. There he goes. Kev still thinks they're going to make the playoffs, and I'm kind of with him. And it just shows you how our passion rules our logic.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
It's an awkward edit if I've ever heard one. All right, here we go. The top five at five, and we're up to beginning at
number five.
That's how that goes. All right, the mayor fired the police superintendent today, effective immediately, for intentionally misleading her and the public about his conduct when he was found asleep in his running vehicle at a stop sign after a late weeknight out in October.
Mm-hmm.
I'm often at a late weeknight out in October.
How often are you asleep in a running car?
I've never been asleep in a running
car.
Okay,
that's good. Yeah.
I don't think. Let me go back.
Oh, goodness.
Certainly
excuse
not,
me, he's knocking. Excuse me, sir. Mm-hmm. Are you sleeping?
Well, I have been asleep in a running car, but not driving the car at the time.
Okay.
I would say that. That's for sure. And I think I was 8 the last time that happened. Anyway, so the mayor was on with Anna DeVlantis today on her new show, starting at 1 o'clock, 1 to 3 every afternoon before this show, and was asked if the Inspector General's report will be made public.
The investigation is still ongoing. There are others whose conduct is being evaluated and some additional facts I think that the Inspector General is going to be focusing on. So I don't have a timeline, and I didn't ask. It's important that his investigation remain independent. But it certainly would be my expectation that once it's finalized, that'll be an issue that will be considered by the city's Corporation Council. You may be aware, City Council passed an ordinance a couple months back that allowed for the disclosure of certain of the IG reports and on areas of high interest in the public, and I would think that this would fall into that definition.
You know what she could have done? She could have just said yes to that question. That would have, I mean, I understand what she's doing. She's very impressive. I will say this. There's a reason I think that Chicagoans overwhelmingly voted for her. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4 voters in the April runoff election voted for her. It's because she's got a total no BS kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You can just tell. She doesn't take much. She's just going to tell you what it is. She doesn't owe anybody anything in this town, really. I mean, we're not quite sure. But
that we know of.
Right.
Doesn't everybody owe somebody something?
Yeah, well, that's probably true. But, I mean, she doesn't seem to be caught in that system. Here's Steve Bertrand asking about whether or not she took the line seriously or personally.
Obviously, I'm disappointed that he told me something that turned out to fundamentally not be true. But I do think about his young son. I'm a mom myself. My daughter is not much older than his youngest. And, he absolutely made mistakes, real serious mistakes in judgment and conduct. But, you know, I also realize that you have to take the longer view. I'm hoping that he will find some redemption because I do, as a person of faith, I believe in redemption. And it's not my narrative to tell. It's his story. It's not my story.
There's going to be so much more to this story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the investigation's still ongoing.
Yeah, apparently, though, she's getting this from the Inspector General, as you heard in the long first answer there. She's getting this from the Inspector General report. In the Inspector General report, she was able to see an early draft of it. So one would assume, if you're seeing an early draft, that means it's pretty much locked up. And now the question is, mm-hmm. you know, when does it come out and how does it come out? This process now, once it's been drafted, is a question of running it past another board of lawyers who are going to be looking at it and potential prosecutors and people like that to make a decision about where it goes from here. Because there will be union issues here. Mm-hmm. There will be...
He's heading into retirement. What does it mean for his retirement?
Yeah. Exactly.
And she keeps continuing to bring up making the point of the personal component of it all, which it means something.
Right. And we know he was, he's an exempt officer now, so he's not in the union currently. I know people are going to go, well, he's not in the union, but he was as a Chicago police officer. And then there will be a lot, there's a lot of jockeying that goes on in labor disputes like this. So we'll have to watch this. This story, though, is going to get, I think, worse for him before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
The 4, 3, 2, and 1 coming your way. But first, Lauren, what's going on upstairs and downstairs?
For News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donald, that's our guy, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
It's true, he's our guy. It's our guy. All right. Thank you. Let's check in on the top 5 at
number 4.
Hi, everybody. It's Olivia Jade. Welcome back to my YouTube channel.
Yep, there
finally
she is.
She's back. I've been lost without Olivia Jade.
Yay! Who is she?
She is the daughter of Lori Loughlin.
Oh,
who's going to go away for the rest of her life for trying to get her kid into a good college?
That kid.
That kid who was like, I don't really want to go to college because, like, I really want to be an Instagram star.
Shut up, Olivia Jade. Get in the rowboat. You're a rower.
Now, you're going to stand here against this green screen. Now, hold your hands out like you're holding an oar. We're going to digitally insert the oar later. So just write.
And what's an oar?
Right, don't worry. Just stand there like, oh, let me move your hand. Okay, stand there like this. Okay, you got it. Stand there. Smile.
Anybody ask, you're an All-American rower.
What's a rower?
Rower, whatever the term is.
Oh, now she has broken her silence, but really not, because she can't talk about any of it on social media. She is an influencer, though. She still is an influencer. And she did post her first, you just heard it, the first YouTube vlog in a long time, but 8 months since that happened. And she is so upset that she can't tell the whole story.
Obviously, I've been gone for really long time, and as much as I wish I could talk about all of this, it's really hard for me to say this just because I know that it's something that needs to be addressed. It's just, unfortunately, which is also why I didn't know exactly when I should come back to YouTube, but the reason for that is just because I'm legally not allowed to speak on anything going on right now. I want to come back. There's no point in me just talking for 10 minutes to the camera about how I wish I could say something when I really can't. So I'm going to leave it at that.
But
I did it anyways,
up.
Yeah.
Just shut up!
She's an inspiration.
You're so brave, Olivia Jade.
I mean, the whole thing is just a ridiculous story. You know? Yeah.
I mean, like, and then you're wondering, now, was it USC or UCLA?
USC.
USC. So at USC, they weren't going to take her unless she was a rowing star. Did you hear how absolutely vapid she is? I mean, I know she's like an 18, 19-year-old girl, whatever she is right now. And I don't anticipate from a lot of 18 or 19-year-olds that they're going to be brilliant. But the whole idea is that Lori Loughlin is, you know, trying to jam her into a school that she's clearly not qualified for. And that alone should get her 30 years in the pokey right there.
But there are so many people watching this unfold. And there are so many, like, rich parents out there that are like, please don't find anything on me.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be plenty out there.
Find out that I bought an extension to the library at the university.
Let me just explain a problem that's going to happen here. Arizona State is going to have a 400,000 enrollment before this is all said and done. Because they let everybody in. And it's like the backup school for backup schools for backup schools. And like all the celebrity kids are going to end up at Arizona State.
Good broadcasting school, though.
Yes, Cronkite.
Yes.
Cronkite School of Journalism.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, checking in at
number 3.
Matt Nagy addressed the media before the practice today and talked about the growing chemistry he sees between his quarterback and wide receivers.
I think every receiver has the timing and the trust comes with experience and with experience. So the more plays you have with that guy, the more trust you'll get in particular routes. And some of these guys, again, even going back to last year, it's our first year in this offense last year. So all these routes and the different coverages you get take time. So probably to answer your question, yeah, there's a little bit of trust that gets earned over time. It's starting to develop more and more with more receivers on our team with the consistency of those receivers right now.
Oh, we're really buying into it now, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. Obviously, it's small sample size, but Trubisky probably did have his best game on Thanksgiving. I know the Lions are bad, but he did make some pretty impressive throws in that game.
Well, here's how I know that we are really, we're over our skis here with enthusiasm.
No,
that the press was asking him about his library of trick plays.
We have libraries in the video, but we like name them crazy names so that even coaches within the building don't know where they're at. So we've even gone as far as like whiting out the font. You know how like on the computer you can put all letters in white? But we know it's there, but it's really not because it's white. So we do that too. We do some crazy things. But we're not, I mean, it's across the league.
Oh.
Why is it so secretive?
Well, because we can't let it get to people like you.
Right, but you probably don't mind your other coaches getting it.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Hey, once one person knows, then two people know. So I want nobody to know. I just want to know.
Well, there you go. That's why they're not playing well, because they don't
have the plays. They can't find him.
Well, the reason that came up is because the Texans used one of his plays in the game last night at the goal line. And Deshaun Watson, after games, goes, yeah, I think Chicago did it.
Well, they could. Wait,
it was that option play, reverse at the goal line. So that's why it was brought up.
But if you've played it, it's on film. Yeah. Then everybody has the play.
No, I'm just giving context to why they were talking about trick plays. Because last night, that was a topic of conversation, Deshaun Watson saying that they stole the play from the Bears. I mean, remember last year when Matt Nagy drew up some fun play designs at the goal line? Tight linemen were catching touchdown passes, and now it's like the most boring offense we've ever seen.
I know. It's really vanilla. And that's,
see, he just lost it. I bet he just lost it.
Well, and Ditka, you know, Ditka did that. When teams are having fun, they do stuff like that. I mean, you're noticing right now, speaking of Deshaun Watson, if you go to the let's leave Houston and go to Baltimore, they're running a single wing offense in Baltimore.
Yeah, they run some pretty crazy
because
stuff.
Because Lamar Jackson can do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Gives them options. Let's him make plays. The Bears offense completely prohibits Mitch Trubisky from making plays. I'm
telling you, the single wing might be an answer.
Could be something. Yeah. We saw stuff like that from Nagy last year. Nothing this year, though.
Yeah, but they're not having fun. It's no fun Bears.
I know.
Have fun. Have fun, Matt Nagy. Hey, just have fun. And we're doing it in whiteout. Okay. Checking in at
number two.
To the end.
Frozen 2 froze out the competition this weekend, setting two Thanksgiving weekend box office records, $85.2 million over 3 days, and $123.7 million, a lot of numbers here, for a five-day period.
Whew.
So it, you know, it comes out on a Wednesday, ends on a Sunday, and it made $123 million.
A lot of cheddar.
I'm really not that surprised, but it's still a large chunk of cash.
Now, it's grossed over $287 million in its first 10 days of release, which beats out Incredibles 2. There's a lot of numbers here. I'm not going to bring all the numbers. Now, this... Actually, let me do this because I'm going to see if I can even understand it as I'm bringing you the numbers here. It is now grossed over $287 million in the first 10 days of release, trailing Incredibles 2 by just under $63 million for the same 10-day period. Frozen 2 is now the 17th highest grossing animated film ever, and the sequel takes place 3 years after the events of the first film, Elsa Voice. And once again, now, isn't that funny? That sounds like a house closing right there, is what that sounds like. Like your lawyer hands you the document and goes, here's exactly what you're signing.
The disclaimer at the end of a commercial.
Right. Now, that title song, of course, is sung once again by... And you start to hear the strange sound of the North calling her, Elsa, her sister Anna, Kristoff, and Olaf, played respectively by Kristen Bell, Jonathan Josh Gad.
I'm understanding none of this.
I understand none of it either. Anyway, the point is that this one's over. That's what the point of this one is. I just want to tell you that Frozen 2, again, another number. There's just too many numbers in this story.
It's doing well. That's all we need
to know. Did really well. $250 million worldwide so far.
It's having a good run.
I've heard really good things, so
yeah.
If that's anything.
And finally.
Number one.
Rockin', I'm the real McCoy, and I'm headed out west somewhere because I wanna be a cowboy, baby.
You know, here's the funny thing: when that record came out in the late '90s, right, and Kid Rock was, you know, one of the hottest, it was one of the hottest acts in America in like 1998, 1999. And you know, you just kind of knew that the guy was up to no good, right? Because the whole thing is about him being a pimp and Is it having the girls at the Four Seasons for all the right reasons? You know, it was whatever he was doing. That's just what he was doing. And you knew the guy was kind of a little nuts.
The bad boy cowboy.
Right. A cowboy rapper.
Yeah.
You know, it
crossover
was.
Crossover situation.
Yeah. When you have a cowboy rapper, you know, you know that the guy has got a Batman-esque sort of two personality thing happening. So now. He happened to be at the big honky-tonk and steakhouse in Nashville. And he might have had a few drinks. And he gets on stage and he starts getting kind of mad about of all things, Oprah. And then he was also mad about Joy Behar and Kathy Lee Gifford. And what?
Hey, I'm like Oprah Winfrey or Joy Behar. Oprah Winfrey. And I'm the guy that you want to just be like, hey, I want Kid Rock on my side. I'm not the bad guy in that equation. I'm the guy you want, like, hey, he's pretty cool.
No.
And if you say that, you're like, hey, well, pretty sure Kid Rock's a racist.
It's a little hard to make that out, but basically he does not like Oprah or Joy Behar, and you definitely want Kid Rock on your side. And
he's a cool dude.
He's a cool dude. Exactly. And people are going to call him a racist, but he's not a racist, but he might be a racist. There's something about rock stars from Michigan. There's just a thing about rock stars from Michigan. I just don't know what it is.
Who has now adopted a country accent. Yeah. It's like an American hockey player developing a Canadian accent.
Well, you go up into the North Woods in Michigan. It's like Florabama up there, except cold. Florabama with snow.
He kind of reminds me of the son of Ted Nugent.
Yes. That's what it is. And they all turn into Ted Nugent at some point. I'm waiting for Marshall Mathers to turn into Ted Nugent. It hasn't happened yet, but I know it's going to. All right, let us now just close this thing up.
The top five at five.
It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. And let me just tell you that on Friday, we need your help. I so rarely ask you for your help, and I'm going to ask you for your help right now. We are doing our annual Toys for Tots Drive show. It's a holiday show. It's for kids so that they can get Christmas presents or whatever holiday they happen to subscribe to over the holiday season. And the United States Marine Corps Reserves has been doing this Toys for Tots program for decades now, and they want to make sure that kids have an opportunity to enjoy Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever it happens to be. And I just want to tell you something, that it is one of the most heartwarming things you will ever see. This show, but any one of these kinds of events at Toys for Tots does. But in this particular show, we have raised, it is estimated, close to 100,000 toys over the last 23 years that we've been doing this show. And every year we've done it. And every year it is a success. We'd like to make this one a success as well. And this year, it's not a ticketed event. You can just come and go as you please. Tinley Park Convention Center, which is just off I-80 at LaGrange Road. Isn't that right, Lauren Lapka?
Sounds right to me.
Okay, that's very good.
It's actually not LaGrange, but, you know, near Harlem.
Near Harlem.
Yes. LaGrange is more Orland Park.
Harlem and the Highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Harlem and the Highway. That's what I meant. That's what I
know.
Meant.
I know what you meant.
Well, now I got to tell
that's
them.
That's why
what I
said.
Now I got to tell them what I meant.
So people are not going to LaGrange. And
don't
like,
go to LaGrange.
Orland Park. Where am I?
Tinley Park Convention Center at Harlem, just off of I-80. There we go.
Perfect.
Thank
yes.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And the show starts at 3:00. We go from 3 to 5:30 with the broadcast, and then after 5:30, it's a huge party. So you can come at any time between 3:00 and, you know, 7-ish. The party goes as long as we're there. Ides of March are going to be there performing for us, a full concert after our live broadcast. We got sample treats from Sweet Alley's Gluten-Free Bakery, photo opportunities in the Architect of Chicagoland photo booth. We also have prizes. Hilton's of Chicago winter getaway package, signed memorabilia from the White Sox, tickets to see Casey and the Sunshine Band. We're going to pay you to come out and give a toy for kids for Toys for Tots. So you win-win. You feel good for doing that, and then you could win something as well. We also have tickets to Museum of Science and Industry and Shedd Aquarium, which, by the way, is not exactly a little ticket right there.
No.
It's kind of big tickets now. Details at WGNradio.com/toys. Brought to us by American Sale. Bring the fun home for the holidays. And also sponsored by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland, Hilton's of Chicago, Dibs.com. That's a URL right there. And Sweet Alley's Gluten Free Bakery. All right. How about that?
Indoor atrium opens at 1:30. I remember last year when I pulled up, it was like, not surprised, but it was heartwarming because you saw all these listeners lined up outside the venue with toys in the freezing cold. I'm like, that's like, they're here for, this is cool that they're here, you know?
It was really nice. And so this year we wanted to make sure that we didn't have a situation like that where people were trying to do the right thing had to stand in the cold. And remember, it was like sleety, snowy, kind of thing. It was nasty. It won't be like that this year, but we have an open atrium, and then we've got the where the show area is going to be, and there's going to be plenty of seating and plenty of food and drinking and stuff like that. So it is going to be a very comfortable and fun experience for people, and you'll see the tree, and you can see all the heartwarming pile of toys as they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then at one point, Chevy Silverados are going to pull into the event with with hundreds.
That loads.
Hundreds, perhaps over 1,000, maybe 2,000 toys. I think last year it was like 2,500 that Apple Chevrolet collected and brought to us.
The trucks are coming in?
The trucks are actually coming in. There's going to be a caravan from Apple Chevrolet, which is at 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park. And they're going to, I'm assuming they're going to come down Harlem Avenue as they head toward, would that be right, Lauren?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd probably be a good estimate.
Good thing to do. So they'll go down Harlem, go over by Harlem and go south. And they're going to head right down toward the Tinley Park Convention Center. And, you know, hopefully there'll be a helicopter shot on Channel 9. Channel 9's going to be out there with us all day, WGN TV as well. Nice. Demetrius Ivory is going to be doing his live shots from there. So as that's happening and people are enjoying themselves, and if you're watching on the television, you're going to be able to see the trucks heading toward us.
Can't wait. Already a lot of buzz around this, bro.
I know. It is.
Seen a lot of friends and family. They're asking me about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing to do. It's definitely the thing to do. Thank you. And don't forget, I got Blackhawks tickets for you coming up after 6 o'clock, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. It's for the Sunday game against the Arizona Coyotes. That is Sunday. Is that a... What's the puck drop there? Is that a 6 o'clock?
That's I'll have to look it up.
Would you look that up for me, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. It's coming up after 6 o'clock. It's a 6 o'clock. We're being told a 6 o'clock puck drop. I love those. Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
Get home just in time to catch the second half of the Sunday night football game.
Mm-hmm. Gets rid of those Sunday scaries for you.
It does. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, right? There's no tick, 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 tick from the 60 minutes clock while you're watching football and it's dark outside. And you're like, oh, my God, what am I doing? It gives you an event to go to. It's the best thing ever. Go see that game, but we got free tickets for you coming your way. But first, let's do this. It is Cyber Monday, right? Today is the day in which there's just a ton of internet traffic. As a matter of fact, I happened to be on the Webola at midnight last night, taking advantage of some Cyber Monday things. I might have bought some things for you guys.
Whoa.
On the Cyber Monday.
Is it anything good?
No. but we have Ian Scherer is with us from CNET, and Ian has tips for how not to get screwed over on Cyber Monday, because Cyber Monday could be, you know, there's a lot of hucksters out there trying to sell you stuff. There are deals that are not deals. And there are people out there, I'm assuming that these are Russian troll farms or something like that, that are trying to steal your information as well. Isn't that right, Ian?
It can be very true. Yes, you want to be careful. By the way, where's my gift?
I wasn't
that up quickly.
Ian, I didn't say I didn't get you one, too.
So the ways that you want to make sure that you're safe, really the best way to make sure that you're safe, are a couple of things. One is that if you see a deal that looks too good to be true, do not let your FOMO get the best of you. You know, the fear of missing out is real. And if you see a deal that looks like, you know, the lightning deal, got to get it now. Sometimes it's just not worth it. And sometimes when you're at a website that looks a little questionable, you could be giving away information that people could use to steal your information. So stick to companies you know, like Amazon and Best Buy. No one's paying me. I'm just saying the ones you know and you can trust. And then also take a breath when you see a good deal and see if it's actually a good deal. There are a number of tools out there. One of my favorites is called Camel, Camel, Camel. That's the word camel three times. I don't know why it's called that. They just do it. And that you click it, you take your Amazon link, you put it in there. It'll tell you whether you're getting the best deal. There are a couple of deals today that I saw that were not the best deals that I could get.
Does it then, does it then send you to a better deal?
Yeah, well, what it'll do is with the Camel, 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 it'll actually just tell you, it's just for Amazon, it'll tell you what the historical price was. So if the price was better you know, a few months ago, then you may want to just sit out and wait, right?
Hold on. Let me. I just want to go back through this because this is fascinating. It's camel, like the animal, camel.
And
you go there, and then, and that's a, that. I'm assuming that's just a URL you go to .com, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you go to that. You then it'll ask for. You'll have to copy and paste the link that you're on. Right on your Amazon screen.
Yep.
And you put that in, and then you'll see, and then it'll tell you whether or not you're getting screwed.
Yes, exactly. Because remember, Amazon doesn't set the prices; the people who sell the stuff do. So the prices go all over the place all the time, minute by minute. So it's always good to check. Another app out there called Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, like the food. Mm-hmm. It does that for a lot of the internet. So it'll do it on Levi's website and all sorts of other places. And then there's also one that we are big fans of for your phone called Shop Savvy. And that one will actually, you can scan the barcode in the store and it'll tell you whether you're getting a good deal in the store. So all those ways kind of help you a lot to protect yourself. And then the best part is that a lot of them have price alerts as well. So if you say, oh, it could be a better price, you can actually tell it, I want this, you to email me when it's this price off and I'll do it. So there's a lot of ways to do that to kind of protect yourself and say, well, maybe I'm not getting a good deal now, but I might in the future. But then you're betting that you're going to get it in time for the holidays, or if it's for yourself, you're just waiting.
It's so true. Like last night I got hit with an Instagram ad, and it was for like, it's like a drawing board, but it's glow in the dark, and you give it like a certain pen to the kid and they can like draw. And so I'm like, this is perfect. My niece would love that. And I clicked on it, and the deal was, like, really good. I'm like, $20, this gift, she's going to love this. Like, she loves to draw and do all that stuff. But then I just had to pull back. I'm like, I got to do a little more research. Because I'm like,
you got to do the research.
I'm going through reviews, and the reviews are all great, but they all seem very similar. As if there was somebody very similar, great product.
Five stars, five reviews. Yeah.
My niece loves it. My nephew loves it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to hold off on this. So I'm going to do a little more research on it before I actually pull the trigger.
And you are very smart to do that. It's really good to check your research. You know, one of the things that happens a lot is the scammers also try to sell off-brand fake stuff. So it's always good to check that you're going to CNET, of course, but other reviewers as well, to make sure that you know that this is a real thing, that it's worth buying, that it's not a piece of junk when it shows up. And then if you're worried about your protecting your private information, there are apps out there now that will help you create virtual credit card numbers so you can use them just for that one sale. Apple Pay does this. There's an app out there called Token, T-O-K-E-N, like the thing you put in a machine. It will also do that. And even a lot of credit card companies, Amex, Visa, a lot of them will do that for you as well. So there's a lot of ways to protect yourself when you're buying online as well.
Now, what about the apps and websites that encourage you to shop through their website, like Rakuten, to get money back through theirs? I always hesitate with websites and apps like that. Are some of these safe, or are there also people out there kind of trying to scam you through things like that?
Right. So we actually are very familiar with them. So there's ones called BeFrugal, Dosh, Rakuten, as you brought up. I don't know how to say it. Maybe it's
Rakuten.
And then there's a whole commercial campaign just to tell you how to pronounce their name. Change your name.
I didn't.
It used to be Ebates too, which is easier.
Right. That's what they used to be, is Ebates. So they renamed themselves to this terrible new name. And then Top Cashback. So there's a bunch of them, and they are actually legitimate websites. We've used them ourselves at CNET. And part of the reason that they are legitimate and that they're not just stealing information is that your sales history is worth something to them, right? So what happens is they collect your information as you're buying stuff on the web, and then they sell it to market research firms. They will also oftentimes get a commission if you click on their link from their website. So that also happens. So that's how they make their money, and someone has to make money somehow. So if you're comfortable giving them that kind of information, then they'll pay you back a certain amount of money, you know, $5 or whatever if you spend $1,000 or whatever it is. So, if it's worth it to you, go ahead.
All right. Well, see, Nate, you know what you just did? You just saved us money and heartache.
I feel much more prepared for the shopping season.
Yeah, that's what you can do. Yeah, there you go. We'll be back in touch, Ian. Don't you forget about it.
Absolutely. Right. Always happy to help.
Thank you. Ian Scher from CNET. They fix all of our problems. Kevin's got a breaking sports story.
The Addison Russell era with the Cubs has come to a close. Today was the deadline for Major League clubs to tender players who are arbitration eligible. Infielder Addison Russell has been non-tendered, meaning the Cubs are moving on from the shortstop.
Now, because of the controversy surrounding him?
Sure, that factors in. They also factored in the way this process works. A player becomes arbitration eligible after a certain amount of playing time. They probably factored in what he would, if they did go to arbitration, like what his value would be. An arbitrator will set a price for a player depending on their resume, essentially. So they probably factored in the cost of it. Kind of a crowded infield. He really never fit back in with the lineup. After he came back from his suspension. And then, yeah, you've probably got to figure that whole, everything that was. There are a lot of fans that did not want to see Addison Russell in the Cubs uniform.
A lot
ever.
Of booze that first came back.
Yes, yes. Was at that game, and Wrigley was shaking with booze when Addison Russell. And honestly, there was always still a handful of guys. Every single at bat at Wrigley, I could hear at least some people booing Addison Russell. So Addison Russell, non-tendered by the Cubs, meaning he is out. You will no longer see Addison Russell with the Cubs.
Wow. All right. I would have guessed that.
Yeah,
my kind of feels right. Prognostication, but I think he'll have trouble catching on here too after everything that's happened. Well, we'll see what happens. All right, we got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom that's coming your way into Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN Chicago. You know what I have in my hot little hand? Does anybody know what I have in my hot little hand?
I do.
Lauren, can you
look
over here?
No, you're blocked by computers. I can't see.
Now, do you see?
Oh, okay, now I see.
It is Blackhawks tickets. That's right, for Sunday night's game. 6 o'clock puck drop against the Arizona Coyotes. They're going to win that game. They are going to win that game.
I hope you're right.
The Avalanche, they're tough. That's a problem. By the way, speaking of the Avalanche, we are going to be at the United Center for the big Avalanche return to the United Center. That seems to be in the West. Those seem to be the guys to beat right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're looking strong.
That's on the 18th of December, so we're going to be there. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I just want to give you these tickets right now, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and tune in every Monday all season long to win a pair of tickets. See the Hawks. And caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. All right. All right. Did you, Hollywood celebrities do dumb things?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, if you're aware of that kind of that bad behavior. And this is no joke, my friends. A new trend in Hollywood, and this is all, of course, started on Instagram, where all stupidity starts now. See, it used to be that if you wanted to find out what dumb celebrities are doing, you bought some sort of magazine at the checkout at the grocery store. And at least, even though those were completely irresponsible, there was some responsibility, because though that company that owned that, if they did something that made you sick or go the wrong way or whatever it was, or suggested something, then they could potentially get sued, right? There was an actual brick and mortar company that would be in trouble. Instagram, it's everybody. It's the wild, wild west. It's everybody for themselves. And who are you going to sue? So there's a new trend in Hollywood, and also amongst, the more gullible of the Instagram consumers. Perineum sunning.
Which is funny, because most people don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
The first word.
So, the perineum, for those who are not medically inclined, and as you learned earlier, I am the only one on the show with medical training. The perineum is that area that exists between the two downstairs holes.
That random little no man's land.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes referred to as the taint, but it is the perineum is the actual medical term for it.
And why does it need to be sunned?
Well, see, because of the Instagram, there are celebrities who claim that they've found a doctor who told them that that particular area needs to be sunned because that will make you healthier.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm just trying to think about... I need this, and only 30 seconds of sun.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like falling asleep on the beach. You get burnt. What happens? There's a lot of important goods down there.
Well, that happened to Josh Brolin, unfortunately.
Really?
That's what you get for being dumb, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin, I love Josh Brolin. He's great in these movies, but there's something. Isn't he Thanos? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's badass. But and now he has one. And I'm not exactly sure how you know that. I don't even know how could you son. Think of the gymnastic that you have to do to get the perineum pointed toward the sun.
Yeah, you got to get like the back of your head and get each one of your knees to like your ears.
It's got to be a very private setting or else you're going to jail. Let's just put it
that way. Yeah, true too. That's an
excellent
point.
Where are you doing it? On the rooftop of your apartment complex? I mean,
or, you know, he's probably got a pool.
Well, yeah, right? Him, but like, yeah, I guess. These are celebrities, I understand. A lot of cheddar. Nice places.
What do the pictures of trying to influence people to do this, I wonder what those look like, because you definitely can't put a picture of you doing it.
Well, no, I've seen pictures of it. It's just a side it's just a side look, so you don't see anything.
It's tastefully blurred, generally, because that would be against the Instagram rules of service, right?
Right. You can't show
that stuff on it, you know.
Free the nipple, though.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people come up with these things? Why?
Benefits of letting your perineum catch some rays include deeper sleep, better focus, amplified auric field. See, right there, when they tell you that, you know it's a scam.
How would any of those things have connections?
Reduced leakage of life force energy in bringing prana or solar energy from the sun into the organs. There you go. God.
Makes sense to me. I'm trying it tomorrow morning.
Kev, let's practice the pose now. Lauren, what's happening on the roads and in the sky?
For news at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
All right, this week, I'm slightly confused about all the things that I'm seeing. First of all, I would just like to, and I'm going to bring A.B. Stoddard in for a second here, and we're going to talk about what's going to happen this week in Washington, and I have a theory I want to run past her. But before I do that, I need to follow up on the perineum sunning story that we just brought you, this breaking news, that Josh Brolin, mm-hmm. you know, famed. He was in W, right? We'll bring this into the politics. He played George W. Bush. Great actor, right? Yeah. He's badass. James Brolin's son. He's a badass, and now he has one. He said that he tried this perineum sunning, which is a big Instagram thing. You're supposed to do it because it's going to bring you all these health benefits, including deeper sleep, better focus, amplified auric field. And who does not want an amplified auric field, right? Mm-hmm. Well, as it turns out, here's what Josh Brolin said after he did it. I tried this sunning, and I've been hearing about, you know, and my suggestion is do not do it as long as I did. My pucker hole is crazy burned, and I was going to spend the day shopping with my family. Instead, I'm icing and using aloe burn creams because of the severity of the pain. I don't know who the F thought of this stupid S, but F you nonetheless. Seriously. Hashtag Black Hole Friday.
Lesson learned.
All right, there you go. So please do not try this at home. And we can't do it in the upper Midwest anyway because we can't find the sun. I mean, how are you going to do that? Do not do this with a fake sun source.
Our pucker holes are safe.
Yeah. There you go. Welcome to the show, AB. Thanks for joining us.
I decided the perineum sunning thing is for rich people, right? Because where do you find these private spaces to sun your butthole?
That was my question. That's initially. So where are you going to go? On top of your apartment complex? But yeah, right. These people have private beaches. Yes. They have large decks on their oceanside properties.
Yes. Yeah.
Acres on mountainside. Right. It's just atrocious.
So rich,
and they deserve burnt butts.
Right. It's rich idiots, which basically describes Hollywood. I mean, that's like it's a perfect thing. Okay. Now let me just I want to run something past you. Is it my imagination? And I tried to, like, I think a lot of Americans take a break over the 4-day weekend to try to get away from all of this. But as I started reconsuming the news today, I noticed a change in tone from last week. You know, like in the Congress and all the Adam Schiff and his committee and all those people, they were kind of running full speed ahead. You know, we put together this report and we're going to present the evidence to the Judiciary Committee for impeachment. And I see Democrats now pumping the brakes because they have been home for a week talking to their constituents. And even Democrats, I think, are getting cold feet about actually having an impeachment trial because they fear that it would make the president into a victim. And, you know, he likes to sell that notion anyway, that he's, you know, the most put upon president in American history. Is it, am I reading this the right way?
Well, I think it's too early to know what the actual conclusion is, the sort of the consensus after everyone was at home for Thanksgiving. We knew before they left that there's a lot of money being spent by the RNC and the Trump campaign in the Trump districts that Democrats represent. Really, really big money on ads, anti-impeachment ads. And so that is obviously something that, you know, they have to contend with. Where's the money on the Democratic side? You know, who's coming to help them out? Blah, blah, blah. And so that was an issue. Before they left, I think that there is an outside, there's a debate happening kind of on the outside, but it's seeped into the inside. You know, you've read about this. We've talked about this. I think David Brooks the other day said they should pack it up or, you know, go bold or something like that. Sort of go big or go home, right? That they mm-hmm. should not speed this up, not have it be narrowly focused, wait for more stuff to come. This has been my argument for months. John Bolton must testify. The courts must weigh in. Maybe the tax returns show up. What happens to Rudy's SDNY, you know, probe? All of this stuff that we know is only going to get worse. Why don't you just calm down? And if you're not on a political calendar and you're doing this for the right reasons,
right,
do it in April. You know, just who cares? And do it after more Republicans have gone through their primaries. Just make them face a larger stack of crimes. And so there's this real tension on kind of the outside of the Democratic Party, you know, looking in, you know, donors, concerned, gray beards, this type of thing. And then this desire of Nancy Pelosi's to sort of just get rid of this as soon as humanly possible, because she knew all along we'd be politically unpopular. And so, you know, I do think they're really torn, and I don't know how much heat they're getting. I know they are from voters, and I know they don't see a poll bump, and I know that, you know, this continues to be a settled matter politically among the electorate, but I don't know how much pressure they're also getting from, you know, campaigns about my Iowa caucuses, and, you know, there's six senators, and whatever, you know, what it's going to do to the primary campaign. So yeah, there's a lot that they're contending with, and I think we'll know once the members have been home a few more days if they're going to get cold feet or do censure or change their plan.
Did you see this stunning poll today? Shock poll, as they say on the Drudge Report. That 53% of Republicans surveyed said that they think that Donald Trump is a better president than Abraham Lincoln. Now,
yeah,
that indicates a lot of Republicans in the South, I would imagine, right? But it also it just tells you something about the sticky nature of this. People have really there isn't any movement, and that's the most frustrating thing here, is that we literally have two fully distinct groups of people who are now at odds with each other, and they're not changing their positions. That's a kind of a dangerous mix.
Oh, I completely agree, and we've talked about how toxic this tribalism is before. I mean, I am really trying to hope still that there are some senators that are going to find it in their hearts to believe that they must be on record in some way opposing what the president did, even contending it was impeachable, but it's exactly what the framers warned against. And then in a power sharing government that's by and for the people and is representative and it has three co-equal and separate branches, that the Congress would assert itself so as not to normalize this. Because if he is acquitted on a partisan vote in any Senate trial, he will do this again. He might be doing it again now, ask for help from foreign entities, state actors, governments, non-state actors, as he indicated last May to George Stephanopoulos in an ABC interview that he would welcome, that he would continue to do it. And then this is just going to be normal, that you can have your personal loyal run around and do, you know, rogue national security policy and foreign policy operations outside the official channels. All of this stuff is, you know, anti-constitutional and is completely beyond the pale, and they know it. But the question of tribalism looms over whether or not we'll see anyone stand up and say, this is wrong, and I understand that the voters think he's great, but I'm here to protect the system, and I know this is wrong. So it's a lot of pressure on senators, particularly the ones who are retiring.
to do their duty, and it looks, you know, we all can sit here and say, surely they won't, but that doesn't mean that they won't. And you know, we'll have to see. But it's, okay. it's an amazing thing. The report tomorrow is going to come out from the House Republicans on Intel and judiciary, and it's like 123 pages just talking about how great Trump is, and that there's not one indication he did anything wrong. In fact, they just make several mentions of how he might have been persuaded to be upset with Ukraine, you know, by Rudy Giuliani, but that everything he did was just terrific.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we are. We find ourselves in Abraham Lincoln. We're going to dig him up, and we're going to send him to Canada. Because
I think when he finds out about the perineum sunning, he's going to want to go back 6 feet under. I don't think he wants to know how bad it is right now, Ro.
I think you're right. Thank you, A.B. Stoddard.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We'll talk to you next week. All right. Let's check in now with the newsroom in 2 minutes. That's what they said. It's the Ro Khan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right. Let's do some good here. Because tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, right? And Joy Squire is with us, and she is from the Red Cross. And Giving Tuesday is one of those days where people, you know, you have Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then Giving Tuesday. And Giving Tuesday is, if you're not familiar with it, is an opportunity to go to the charity that you feel strongly about and give. Because this is the time of year where you're spending money. Spend a little bit where it's actually going to help some people. And there are at redcross.org, right, Joy? Is that the best place to go here, /gift?
Absolutely. Redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Good place.
You can also text Red Cross to 90999, and that's a $10 donation. Right off the top, right there, right? Okay, I think we're gonna do that at the end of the show. We're all going to be doing that. But let's talk a little bit about what the Red Cross is, because there's a lot of, you know, there are a lot of charities, there's a lot of organizations, there's a lot of things that are really worthy, but the Red Cross is specifically, especially here in Chicago, is a really, really, really important organization. In terms of disaster recovery, and when we think about disasters, you think about the big stuff like floods and tornadoes and hurricanes, but little disasters too. There are people whose houses burn down or apartments burn out, and you see that Red Cross truck pull up with blankets. Some people come running out in the middle of the winter with nothing on, essentially, and you've got blankets and support and temporary housing that you guys offer, right?
Absolutely. I mean, every day, thousands of people are affected by disasters. The Red Cross responds to 62,000 disasters nationwide, and those are mostly home fires. It's also the big hurricanes and wildfires, but home fires happen each and every day. And in Chicago, that's 3 to 4 to 5 times a day that Red Cross volunteers are out responding and helping people.
And now, let's talk about the money that people are going to be donating from Chicago. One of the concerns that people have is, well, if I'm donating here, is the money going to stay here? How am I directly affecting my own community?
Well, the Red Cross is out in the community and is reliant upon people to donate and the generosity of the American public. We can only respond to, in Chicago and northern Illinois, 1,250 fires every year, helping like 6,000, 7,000 people, because people donate, and we are here doing it. We're reliant on the generosity of the public. And when you think about it, what happens after the fire department leaves? You're left standing on the curb, not knowing where to turn, not knowing what to do next. But it's because those Red Cross volunteers pull up in the middle of the night. They help you with next steps, medications, eyeglasses, where you're going to stay, food, clothing, counseling and support for what's happening next, and take you through, you know, the process over the next several weeks and months.
All right, now I'm doing this right now. Are you ready? We're gonna do this all together. We're getting our phones out. We're holding them in our hands.
Teamwork.
Here's what we're gonna do. All right, you're gonna have a new message. You're gonna make a new message. Mm-hmm. This is like my mother describing this. We're gonna make a new message.
A text message?
Yes, it's okay. A text message, and you're gonna, in the two part, instead of putting one of your friends in, you're gonna type in 90999.
90999.
Okay. And then you're gonna hit return, and then your text message is going to be Red Cross, capital R,
capital C. Two words, right? Joy, I got that right?
Yep, nope. You absolutely have that right. One word. You can text Red Cross, just the word itself. You can all together. You don't need a space or anything to 90999 for $10 donation.
If I put a space in there, is that okay or no?
I think it will probably still work, yes, but you don't need it.
Nope. All right. Well, then I'm going to take it out. That's what I'm going to do. That's all right. There we go. And then I hit return. Wait, nope. No, that was wrong. Now I hit the little arrow, and then there it goes. There it went. And now I'm going to get a return text message here. Confirm your $10 donation to American Red Cross for disaster relief. Reply yes.
Yes.
And Then I'm going to hit yes, Y-E-S, and then I just sent that, and there we go. Did everybody follow along right there? I hope everybody followed along.
It was very easy.
All right, now I just got it. Hold on. Thanks. $10 charged to your phone bill for Red Cross Disaster Relief. There you go. Redcross.org. All right, there you go. Thank you so much, Joy.
You're helping families. You're helping families in Chicago each and every day and across the country, and we appreciate it.
Thanks,
Joy.
We
appreciate the generosity.
Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Let's check in now with Lauren Lapko, what's happening in the roads and the skies. All right, it's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Blackhawks hockey coming your way next. Blackhawks got to win a game here. They got to win a game. It's a game to be won. And there's a game. It's the St. Louis Blues. We hate the St. Louis Blues.
Mm-hmm.
We despise them.
Yeah.
We think they are the worst.
Yeah.
We think they are the Green Bay Packers of hockey.
They are now, yes.
Yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Used to be Detroit.
Yes.
But now Detroit had moved because mm-hmm. they got afraid of us. They moved over to the East.
Still quite up there, but yeah. Blues have taken a bit of a lead in being jerks.
Yeah. So. And they're big and they're thuggy.
Yeah, they are.
They got to figure the Detroit thing out. Get them back in the West.
Either that or move us to the East. I'm kind of thinking about that.
Either one. They should be playing more than, twice a year and that's it?
Yeah.
Those should be the best.
Mix the schedule. Why aren't they doing that? You know, I call Gary Bettman every day.
I know.
And I say this to him. I'm like Gary Bettman's mother. I call him every day. Why aren't you calling me back? Same thing every day, the commissioner of the NHL. And I'm like, why? You need to do this. You need to mix the schedule up. We want, especially Original Six, or how about that? Mm-hmm. Just the Original Six teams. You can't just play twice a year with the Original Six. You should be playing four times or six times a year.
Yeah.
3-3. Right?
I like it. I agree.
I mean, that's just not right. And then they go, well, and it's going to make the schedule unfair for the other teams in the West. Well, then they should have joined the NHL 80 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or 100 years ago now, right? It's 2020 already, almost, kind of.
Oh, gosh, is it?
Yeah.
Decade had a good run.
Speaking of the decade, if you'd like to hear the best podcast ever about the best movies of the decade, go to iTunes or Apple or Apple.
Found it
iTunes.
On Spotify myself.
Spotify. Mm-hmm. You go to sometimes.com, and you will find the Richard Roper and Rokan, because he's a film critic, so he gets top billing here, the Richard Roper and Rokan Best Movies of the Decade podcast, which is definitely a great listen.
I love it.
I say so myself.
Yeah,
I was having a conversation Saturday about, and we had this off the air, like top Chicago athletes of the decade or top Chicago teams of the decade. And I was bringing it up to people, and they're like, I didn't even think of that. Decade's coming to a close. I'm like, yeah, years that end in nine normally indicate that the decade is coming to a close. Like, nobody's even talking about it. So I'm glad you guys are doing this.
So did you plug the podcast at your dinner, too? Because I need everybody to tell everybody about this.
I think that's how I actually got started on this rant, because I was plugging your podcast.
Yes. So you go to any of those, wherever, you know, Google Cast or any of those places mm-hmm. where fine podcasts are being sold. And this isn't for sale. It's free. Just download it. It doesn't have commercials in it. It's great. It's easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
Each episode's about half an hour, and there are going to be six total. We're looking at, by genre, we're looking at the best comedies and musicals. That's coming up. That'll be downloading on Wednesday. But already up are three episodes that look at best action films and best, don't tell me.
Drama?
No, not drama.
Not yet. Best animated.
Animated, thank you. Best animated films.
And then best, I don't know if this one's been released, but the one what would you call it? Like real life?
Based on real life. That's the first
one.
Yeah,
based on real life.
So even though I did this podcast, I can't remember because we're still editing the ones that are coming up. But anyway, those are the three that are up there. And they're amazing. And then it's going to end with episode six, which is going to be the top 10 films of the decade.
Ooh, it's going to be tough to pick.
Yeah, I've seen the list. It's really something. And then Richard Rupert's going to be releasing at the Sun-Times his list of the top 100 films. Talk about that.
I know Rich was a big fan of The Irishman. Maybe it sneaks in with just a couple months left in the decade. Who knows?
Here's what's going to be really surprising. This is probably one of the few decades where in the last year of the decade.
Loaded.
It's interesting how a bunch got right there, right at the finish line. I could just say that three films that have come out in the last couple of months have snuck into this top movies of the decade.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like every day I'm running into somebody saying, I just saw this, and it was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because there's so much good stuff out right now, in theaters and digital platforms as well.
And one might argue that they make this at the end because you just saw them, right? And Richard just reviewed them. Richard has reviewed 3,000 films this decade.
Insane.
3,000 films. And he has a system by which he ranks them. Right, everybody has a star system, but there's a way that he uses a proprietary thing to rank them, and that's how he came up with this.
Because that's tough to do. I mean, it's very easy to forget what came out 5 years ago,
right?
What came out 6 years ago.
Yeah, there'll be movies on this list where you go, oh yeah! Oh, was that this decade?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the real life one is one of my favorite episodes. That's the first episode, because it takes you into some movies that you kind of forgot about, and then or you didn't know they were from real life, that it was a true story.
Well, also the cultural impact of the movie because of that fact.
Yeah.
I really like that because you get your classic Roe and Roper banter in these podcasts. That's my favorite part about it. But to get your kind of take as the more newsy guy and not the movie guy, it really makes it interesting to listen to.
I feel like there should be the sound of ice clinking against a glass while you guys sip on some sort of brown water, because that would just be fitting for Roe and Roper.
It's just what it sounds like they're doing, yeah.
Over a glass of bourbon or whatever.
It is rather like that. We'll have to see where this goes from there. But the musical and or comedy is coming out on Wednesday, and that's Kevin.
Yes,
I'm just gonna say,
I'm putting it in my calendar.
It's gonna make you cry.
Okay.
Oh gosh, I know what that means.
It's gonna make you cry. It made me cry making it, and it's gonna make you cry listening to it.
We'll go in the garage.
Hey, speaking of entertainment, did you see this? I love right before we go, because we got Black Hawks hockey coming your way in just a few minutes. But did you see that Pete Davidson, the dude who is keeps really punching above his weight,
right? Making out with celebrities at hockey games,
right?
Yeah, seems to find really high qualified girlfriends.
Yes, it was qualified, but in quality maybe. And let's just say that I know that most of these women who decide to date Pete Davidson have a project coming out that they would like to promote.
Maybe a movie or an album coming out.
Yeah, and somehow it coordinates with like dating this guy that nobody thinks anybody should be dating. Now Pete Davidson has his luck in the bedroom. He thinks he's going to replicate on the stage. He is now asking anybody who attends his comedy show to sign a non-disclosure agreement with $1 million penalty if you share publicly any element of his comedy show.
Is he really that popular he thinks he can get away with that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he's on the list of the top guys that could do something like that.
I mean, I know that in the comedy world that is happening now. People are stealing. There's always been stealing in comedy. But, people are recording these things and then putting them up on YouTube, and then the comedy specials aren't getting the kind of traction and blah, 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 blah. I happen to believe that that's not true. I happen to believe that if you're that hot that they want to put you up on, on social media, then your comedy special is going to sell on Netflix or wherever else it's going to be.
Yeah.
And people want to go see it in person.
And John, he's going on tour with John Mulaney.
His, love him.
From Saturday Night Live, actually Chicago's very own, Old Town's very own John Mulaney. Mm-hmm. And what they're going to do is he's going to ask for this at the John Mulaney show. I don't think Mulaney's hip to this. Because I think Mulaney wants ticket sales. Right, exactly.
What? Non-disclosure?
I'm bigger than he is.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mulaney would never do something like that. I wonder how you handle something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Pete asks for the order. And then he's getting it. It's the hot girl at the bar concept. That you go up to the hot girl, you don't think you have a shot, but you ask, and you never know.
Sometimes you just fire away.
Sometimes
it connects.
I don't know. Anyway, it's working for Pete Davidson. That's just a way of saying that Chicago Blackhawks hockey is coming your way in 2 minutes. Have a great night.